Again, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. It is the 19th day of June 2006. Great to have you back with me for this most important interview, and I'm going to set it up just a little bit here. We've got a gentleman named Giovanni who's worked with, not only has he worked with Conspiracy Central, but he's also left them to start a new organization called Opposing Digits, and he's done that because, well, from what he explained to me was that he felt he could get a better and more vibrant forum going if he left, and that, I'll let him explain that to you all. What he's going to do today is that we're going to discuss our research and the questions that people from his forum have about what we've been doing. I've asked him to stay away from, personal questions because my family, as I've explained to you before, they're not working in this fight with me. My wife is not an American, and her fight with these folks is in support of me, basically. But she's not part of this, so I keep her out of it, and as well as other family members in America. So he's agreed to that, and we're going to stick with the subjects of our research, questions about what we found and why we think certain things have happened and why we don't. We've also included in this discussion Eric Huffschmidt, because Eric is an integral part of what we write about on The French Connection. We can't be separated. Eric and I work together. We discuss these articles we put up. We plumb the depths of this conspiracy, this crime, these crimes that we've all discovered. So he's going to be here to maybe answer some of the parts he can answer. Anyway, Giovanni, welcome.
How you doing?
Good. Nice to have you with us here today. First of all, you want to give everybody a little thumbnail sketch of why Opposing Digits and why you're no longer directly related to Conspiracy Central and what that whole relationship is, in fact.
Well, basically, I used to be a member of Conspiracy Central and then moved out to a moderator. And then eventually, through a lot of arguments, and I felt that people were just more arguing and no actual research or no answers were coming through. So then eventually went on to Opposing Digits, and then we started another one called conspiracyresearch.org, where we're trying to do more evidence and more, be more unbiased and more open to ideas than just arguing our own ideas and try to get our own point across without being open to anybody else's ideas.
Well, who's behind these organizations? Who's running those organizations? So we know the listeners at French Connection can find out who you're working with, if you don't mind.
Well, in the site I'm involved in, Conspiracy Research is started by someone called Cypher, and an idea of myself and hers and two other people.
Now, is she still connected to Conspiracy Central?
I mean, we're all kind of still connected in some way. We just have disagreements as to how things should be done, basically. So we all still talk to each other and we all still know each other, but we just have a different philosophical idea of how things should be run.
Well, I got a question for you personally about what they've done at Conspiracy Central. They've actually gone as far as calling me a pedophile in France. Which actually is criminal. I mean, it's, well, not criminal, but it's civil slander in very simple terms. Why would they stoop so low as to say stuff like that when it's obviously untrue and it's obviously just a way to call me a doo-doo head or something? I mean, it seems like 5-year-olds are running things over there. Why would you say something so outrageous about someone?
I believe that's just a few certain people. I mean, there's so many people on that site that you're going to get different people's views. I'm sure not.
Well, why doesn't a moderator say that that's beyond the pale, that's beyond rational, that's beyond fair, and that shouldn't be even posted? They left that kind of stuff up there.
I mean, I couldn't answer that. I think they try to go with, try to keep it open and let people debate whatever they want without trying to get involved.
But calling somebody a pedophile? I mean,
I think
Giovanni, that's, what if I called you a pedophile?
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, I think people who hear that just ignore it and keep going.
Well, you know, it's still incredibly bizarre that kind of stuff would be up there, and I did talk to a lawyer about it. I'll let you know that.
I personally don't agree with it, and I don't think we should resort to name-calling, but that's how some people know how to argue, so.
Well, you know, that kind of stuff can get people in court cases is what it can get. But that being said, what we want to do today, and you fielded questions from your group. What was the response when you said that you would field questions? Did a lot of people write them in, or not a lot?
We got a few people, not too many. I think a lot of people just kind of wanted to brush it off and forget about it. I think I don't know why. I figured most people would be interested and want to get the answers, but I guess some people kind of thought that you weren't going to be up to it or answer any questions.
Well, as I told you in advance, we'll answer any question about what we've researched, everything that's possible. So Eric and I are ready to take your first question. What question would you like to start out with?
Okay, well, since most of your claims are based off of Benjamin Friedman's, what do you think of the claim that says that Benjamin Friedman was given, the speech he gave was given to people with American ties to the American Nazi Party, and that the man who set up the events named Condi McGinley was funded by the Friedman, who called himself an honorary Aryan? Do you believe this to be true?
Well, Eric, you have something about that? First of all, his speech, there are actually several of them that I know of. One of them was at the Willard Hotel in Washington, D.C. What I do know about Friedman was that he came forward even in advance of that 1961 speech, and he invested his own money. Now, here's what that I know about Ben Friedman. Ben Friedman had an $11 million fortune in his family, and apparently he spent as much as $7 million of that $11 in order to get this information out. And that by that I mean he paid for albums to be done, he paid for tours to be done, he paid for an organization to start promoting the information he had. Now, what I do know about Ben Friedman is he does exist in documentation as a signatory as well as a negotiator and an assistant to both Morgenthau and to others, and was present at the Balfour signings. Now, whatever else has come from since then, I am not privy to any information about him being part of anything Aryan. In fact, I've never seen a single thing that relates to that. Now, you might have got something like that from somebody else recently, but nothing back in the past that I read that says he was an Aryan nation, anything.
Okay.
Well, Eric, do you read anything about that?
Well, first of all, I mean, to give a speech at some organization by itself doesn't mean anything. What if he gave a speech to a bunch of women playing bingo? What does that prove? You have to, whoever makes these accusations has to say, well, he gave a speech here and here's the significance of it. To just say it, see, this is like name calling. They're saying, well, he gave a speech and some people were Nazis. Well, what does that prove? And besides, then you look at the Nazi Party, and it looks like a lot of them are Zionists pretending to be Nazis, which means that maybe he was fooled, maybe this is all just another Zionist scam. See, you have to, the people making these accusations have to do some research. They've got to explain what the point is. They can't just throw the word Nazi out there. That's what they're trying to do. They throw these words out, Aryan nation, white supremacist, Nazi. They're trying to, like, stick it on him, like little yellow stick it, post-it, you know, those post-it notes. They're like putting Nazi on them and trying to scare people away. This is just the same as name-calling. That's all it is. That they've got to come up with some serious explanation for what does this mean.
Well, what did Friedman say, first of all? Friedman said that that the Americans were brought into the war because Wilson was actually blackmailed because he was having an affair with a married woman, that the Zionists within the halls of power knew it, and that he was approached and he was told he would act in this way or he would be outed as a, you know, and in other words, and the people, the press that was in control by these Zionists was also put in the favor of him becoming president. So, and he also acquiesced to putting in a man named Brandeis as a Supreme Court justice. And we know that he was involved with a guy named Baruch and Morgenthau and Untermyer and many others in Balfour. Now, Balfour is a historical event that can't be denied. I mean, you can read about what Balfour did and why we entered the war and the fact that Germany had supplies enough to defeat Britain. Britain was on the verge of collapsing because they had 2 weeks of supplies to continue their battle. And when America came into the war, we actually reinvigorated the battle, and it lasted for a couple of years longer. And so the stuff he's saying is historically verifiable. So who cares about calling him a doo-doo head if his information bears out to be true, which you can't fault the information. I mean, what do you say about that? Did you understand my point, Giovanni?
Yes, I do.
So what do you think about that, then?
Well, my personal belief is I heard Benjamin Friedman, and I was totally for it. I mean, I believe it. I think the question was more geared towards if did you believe that to be true, and if you did you still support him?
Well, no, I don't think so, and I don't think Ben Friedman was a member of the Nazi Party in any way. And we can talk about Nazi false flag stuff, especially since we came out against David Duke and others. If you'd like, hopefully there'll be a question about that. But I hope that answers your question as best we can. You got another question for us?
Yes, in reference to Conspiracy Central, how did you first begin this battle with Conspiracy Central? How did you become aware of them?
By their attack on me. I had never been to their website. First time I ever went there was as a result of hearing that they had banned my audio files, and somebody said, they sent me an email saying, your audio file are copyrighted. Is that true, Daryl? And I said, no, I don't have any copyrights on my information. I've never said that once. In fact, I say to everybody, put them anywhere you can so that we can get this message out. And when I heard that somebody was claiming our stuff was copyrighted, I immediately said something on my program to the effect that, no, there's never been a copyright on any of my information. And immediately it went from, well, he's not copyrighted, but he's a doo-doo head. I don't know. That's when they started calling me a pedophile and the rest of it. I was like, woo. But the first time I went there was after they claimed that my information was copyright protected, which was not true. And I went to the website and found out that they started banning anybody who supported me. And I didn't know why. So that was only a couple of weeks ago was the first time I ever heard of them in my whole life, actually.
So the banning of the torrents and your audio files and all that had nothing to do with you personally saying not to do it?
No. In fact, it all came at the same time. First, they tried to say that they needed to stop putting my audio files up, as far as I could see, because they were right protected, they were copyrighted.
Mm-hmm.
And that immediately, I got on my radio show and said, no, there's no copyrights, ladies and gentlemen, on any of my stuff. As you may think, it was written on Conspiracy Central that I'm copyright protected, and that is not true. Well, when I did that broadcast, the following day is when all the other stuff started, because apparently they weren't, that lie didn't fly. To be honest with you, the lie didn't fly. And so then it was, okay, well, what can we do now? Now now they started name calling, and it was unbelievable, but that's what it descended to pretty quickly. And then everybody started calling me an F in this and an F in that, and I was actually kind of shocked. I don't know anybody over there. To be honest with you, I don't know anybody from the whole organization. You and I guess a gentleman named Mad Thumbs are the only two people I've ever spoken to that has anything to do with them, or has it had anything to do with them.
Right. Have you ever put a complaint against the ISP?
Never.
First Central.
No. Oh, by the way, there was another guy. What was his name? Some Jewish kid from Canada. That was calling me an F and this and an F and that and you'd stink in this. And I got all his emails saved in my email thing because I reported some of his stuff to the local gendarmes over here as harassment. And they received his emails recently. But some guy named, what was his name, Eric? It was Eric Skovalik something.
Oh, I don't know. Did you tell me?
You remember this kid that was sending me all this? He's one of the main thrusters of this thing, this Jewish kid. And he sends me a photograph of himself standing there in a birthday bag. He's wrapped himself in a present with a Star of David around his neck. And he's saying, how do you like me now, is what he sent me, in a picture. That's I got that on save, too. And I sent that over to the gendarmes over here as well. I got a lot of threats from these people. So I sent, if somebody's threatening me, I have to take an action because I don't know which threats are real and which ones aren't, Giovanni. And I'm going to assume that if someone is going as far as sending me threatening things, they may or may not be real, but how do I know?
Right.
So anyway, this guy was a real thruster behind it, this guy Eric.
It was Stanovic, that's his name.
Eric Stanovic, yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's the first thing. I've never placed a complaint against anybody over there.
Okay. And your claims of Conspiracy Central being ran by Zionists is purely based on the fact that your audio clips were banned?
No. No. It was based on having a guy send a picture of himself wrapped in paper with a Star of David around his neck, saying that he got me banned from that website. And in conjunction with the people there, and the fact that that this guy's doing that is a pretty clear indication that there's some kind of relationship between this guy Eric Stanovic and Conspiracy Central.
So
and secondly, why would they start banning information if it's bearing itself out to be true, especially about stuff that's devastating like Benjamin Friedman? I mean, once you hear this man, you can't deny his accuracy, because if you check on it. Which most people don't do. They ask everyone else to do the research for them. But if you actually do the research about what the guy said, he's accurate. So this is devastating stuff. So immediately the attack started. And, of course, when somebody does those kind of whitewashing jobs on the facts, we're led to believe, well, you got a guy wrapped in wrapping paper with the Star of David around his neck, working to get us kicked off of a website that won't any longer talk about the real truth. That's 1 + 1 in my book.
Well, plus, if you look at his email, he wrote here about how he's calling you names and basically saying, as for the French police, watch for them. The ADL can do wonders. I mean, he doesn't say what he's talking about, but the ADL can do wonders. I mean, he's sending these threatening little mails with talking about the ADL, talking about how you're anti, racist, and there's, you got to put the pieces together here. You talk about Benjamin Friedman, and who attacks you? People who are like ADL supporters, and they're telling you to watch out, and they're calling you racist for what? For bringing up issues like Benjamin Friedman? You can start putting it together and realizing it's a certain group of people complaining. Only one certain group.
Well, that kind of led us to it. It seemed very strange that Conspiracy Central would give up its credibility in favor of a guy named Stanovic wearing a Star of David threatening with the ADL.
Well, he specifically affiliated himself with Conspiracy Central.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And well, he may keep his own distance, but, I mean, he's talking about it. He's defending them, even if he's not part of them. I mean, what difference does it make if he's part of them or just defending them? It's the same thing. You see, it's like if you're in a if somebody behind a bush is throwing a rock at you, what difference does it make if it's coming from somebody behind a bush rather than the guy who, in front of you? Whether someone's coming from to the defense of these people or not, it's the same behavior. It's the same group of people.
And it would seem to me that Conspiracy Central, in order to stay neutral in the debate, would have said, wait a minute, here's the first question they needed to ask. Was our information accurate? Did anybody bother to check it out?
Well,
did they look into the Friedman Association? Did they look into Balfour? Did they look into what we claim about Ashkenazis and Sabbatai Zevi and the New Bohemians and their connection to Weishaupt and all of this information that we placed on our website? Has anybody made a reference to the facts, or are they just trying to slime us with lies? And that was when I went to Conspiracy Central, no one was discussing the facts. It was all personal assaults and attacks, and that gave us the idea that, wait a minute, these people aren't serious researchers. Instead, what they are is a bunch of mud throwers, and they're doing it on the behalf of a guy named Eric Stanovic.
And besides, even if he happens to be a Catholic, you still have to ask, why is it only the defense of Zionism?
Eric, he actually sent me an email in the beginning, said, I'm a Christian.
Oh, I know. He's
and then later
Catholic,
on, he switches over and says, I'm not really Christian, I'm a Jew. And he sends me a picture. He says, how do you like me now? And he's wrapped up in wrapping paper with a Star of David around him. And he's this little limp-wristed metrosexual. And I'm looking at this guy going, oh, my God, what's going on over there with these people? Now, all this happens within a week, Giovanni,
right,
of me finding out even the existence of Conspiracy Central. Look, I used to see your hits on my counter as a place where people went for audio files. like a Pirate's Bay or something?
Yes, correct.
That's the only reason I had ever heard of you, but I'd never been to your site, because why would I go to a BitTorrent site? I can get my own file, so I never went there because I didn't know what you were. I thought you were just like Pirate's Bay.
Well, that's what your initial concept was, but then a message board came out of it and continued from there.
Well, I see. I didn't know any of that, so I just thought you were a place where people can collect audio files. But anyway, so that all happened within a week and a half. Do you have another question for us?
Well, the owner of Conspiracy Central, his name is Mike. He actually says that it's not the message of what you're saying, because they all believe. What I found out was that most people follow what you're saying on Benjamin Friedman and the Zionists. What they have a problem is with the deliverance of the message and the way your followers basically go out and attack everyone, and it's follow us or, you know, and it's kind of like a mob type of thing, the way they deliver the message.
Well, what specifically do you mean deliver? Because, I mean, when you say attack, I don't see, he sometimes might, you know, criticize Rancid Jones, but mostly what this is it's, you have to ask yourself, what are we bringing up 9/11 for in the first place? What are we bringing up any issue for? It's to understand who's doing these crimes in the first place, and that is identifying people. That's not arguing. That's not name-calling. So,
but most people feel that there is no evidence presented to back up these allegations.
Of what?
Of such as Alex Jones being Zionist controlled, Dylan Avery.
There is evidence. That's within the articles. You look at what it is you look at what they say, and you look at what other people say, and you look at the evidence, and then it's an assumption. You have to then make your own determination who is giving an honest view here. It's like,
let me say this, and I said it in the first part, Eric, and I think this is important. Alex Jones got at his conference the other day, and he talked about the USS Liberty. And the USS Liberty attack, I had the officer of the deck who was on board that ship during the attack on my show three times. Now, this man said clearly that the Israelis knew full well the American flag was flying high in the sky above the ship. There was no way they could make a mistake. They flew into this ship with unmarked jet aircraft. They attacked it with patrol boats that had all of the markings erased. They shot people in lifeboats as the ship was sinking. They killed 34 of these sailors that day. And Alex Jones gets on his podium and says, the Israelis are not to blame for this.
And yeah,
his own words last week.
And you can go to the I Am the Witness site and see, you can listen to what he says, you can compare it to what other people say, and this is the evidence. You look at what they say, you look at what other people say, and then you make a determination. Who is really giving an honest analysis of not just the USS Liberty, but 9/11 and all of the other things?
And look at the invitees he's got to his conference. Gabriel Day, Nick Berg. I mean, the list
Spielberg.
Of people, he's got, he's, what he's got is Zionist Central. That's the cover-up group, guy. It's the whole group of people that don't want the Israelis involved in this. They had nothing to do with 9/11. It's all Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. When Israel and the Mossad are all over this conspiracy, and they won't talk about that. I mean, if you saw a bunch of Chinese guys come in and kill your family. And then a bunch of Chinese people came to your house and said, it's really not the Chinese. The Chinese really had nothing to do with it. It's the Queen of England.
Right.
It's Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. Wait a minute. I saw the Chinese here, and they were carrying Chinese weapons, and they had scars on their hats. And wait a minute.
Yeah, because you see, this is not name calling. What they're doing is the name calling. They're the ones saying, just calling us names like maybe Holocaust deniers or, something stupid like that. We're the ones that have actual evidence. We've got audio clips of what they've said. We've got excerpts of some of their articles. You can look at it. This is evidence. If you were to have a court case over 9/11, this is all we have as evidence. What they say, what they do, that is the evidence that these people are part of the criminal network. And it's not, these are, this is not name calling. This is not saying he's a doo-doo head. This is saying, here is what he's doing. He's protecting the crime. He's protecting Israel. He's protecting this whole Zionist movement. And the evidence is what they've said, what they've written. And that is not name calling. That's not fighting. That's not dividing the movement. That is exposing the crime, exposing the criminals. It's identifying who did this and who is covering it up.
Do you believe this is a deliberate cover-up or just lack of knowledge by these people like Alex Jones? And
well, this is where you have a real problem. You trying to figure out who, like my own brother, if I didn't know him, I'd think he was on the payroll. But it's because some people can't deal with it. But there's people like Alex Jones that have been in this longer than any of us. These guys should know more than us. They've been supposedly exposing these crimes for a decade or more. We're the newcomers, and yet we seem to know more than they do. Same with Rents. I mean, this is when you have to realize they're not simply naive. They've been in this longer than us. They supposedly have a lot of sources that we don't even have. Alex says he had sources in Washington, D.C. telling him 9/11 was coming up. He didn't have the date, or he didn't have the details, but he went on TV, remember that, on his Access TV show in July of 2001, warning people that they try to use Osama bin Laden, or however he puts it, in this fake terrorist attack. I mean, he's warning people. This guy knows a lot. And so for him to pretend he doesn't know all this other stuff, is that can only be a lie. And the question is, why? Is it out of blackmail? Is it because he's working with them? Is it out of fear of being attacked by them? I don't know the reason why, but we can see that there is something wrong here, something seriously wrong.
But see,
yeah, go ahead.
In reference to everything else, you do believe that he is telling the truth.
No, well, here's the other thing. Okay, let's talk about, for one thing. Remember I told you that they want to compartmentalize us and have us fighting against each other?
Yes.
Well, if you notice that Alex Jones spends a great deal of time on this Mexican issue and on the Chinese. He says the Chinese at least once a show, the Mexicans at least five times a show. The real issues here are not whether Mexico is coming into the southern border of America, which we know that. The fact of the matter is what he talks about the reconquistas and he talks about them as being enemies and everything. What's happening here, and what the Zionists have done forever, is tried to get us to fight amongst ourselves. The whites against the blacks against the reds against the yellows. And we never look up at the top who's orchestrating the fights, who's allowing the people to come in, who's giving the jobs to the Mexicans. Those issues are not discussed on Alex Jones. What he'd rather do is start food fights low down on the totem pole. And so I think there are other places where you can say he's obfuscating, where he's pointing away from the facts. The fact is, this white-only stuff with the supremacists and the white-only crowd, that's all designed to get us to fight amongst ourselves and never look above to say, look, the Jewish Zionist bankers are in control. They've put these fights into motion, and all of us are here down in the pens that they put us in, fighting with each other. And see, as long as they keep the haves and the have-nots separated from each other's battle, and they give the poor people the battle. It's the poor whites against poor blacks against poor Mexicans. We're never ever ever going to come to grips with this conspiracy as long as the facts around this stuff are never let out. Do you get my point on this?
Yes.
But you were asking if Alex is lying. See, I would say what Alex does, he's very careful not to lie. He doesn't want to get caught in any lie, but he just doesn't give the whole truth, which is the same as lying, but it's not what most people consider a lie. So if you look at his information, you can verify almost just about everything he says. You know, some of what he says are his own assumptions, his own theories, which can't be verified one way or the other. They're his theories, but his information can be verified. So if you're asking, does he lie? No, he's not really a liar. But what he's doing is just not saying the whole truth. And see, this is where people get really deceived. They don't understand that you can deceive people by giving them the truth if it's not the whole truth.
Right.
And the example I use, it's like if I went to you and said, oh, Giovanni, did you know your car just got stolen? You would be thinking, well, thanks for telling me. But if I didn't tell you that it was my friend, I told him to go steal it for me. I mean, that's lying in a sense. Even though I told you the truth, what I didn't tell you is that I'm involved in stealing it.
Right.
And the same is true with Alex. I mean, so what if he tells us Mexicans are coming across the border? That is true. But he doesn't tell us who is feeding Alex Jones's fat face. It's the Mexicans. Who is giving Alex Jones a house to live in? It's the Mexicans. Who's hiring these people? It's some of the same people Alex is protecting. He's trying to make it sound like the Mexicans are forcing themselves on us, that they're some enemy of ours. He's not telling you the whole truth. They're coming in here because there are jobs available for them.
Right.
And it's not only that, but then you have to ask yourself, who's allowing it? This is a lie. When someone tells you the truth and it's not the whole truth, it's a lie. Even though, technically, people would say, well, no, he's telling you the truth. They've got to realize this is a war of deception. It's a battle of intelligence. And people really have to think carefully about this. This is... what we have to do here is identify these criminals, and the people that lie, you've got to identify them. This is not dividing the movement. This is exposing this stuff.
Now, here's another very good example that we came up with. When Charlie Sheen was put forward as a spokesperson for 9/11, for the truth, the day it came out, I smelled a rat right away. I said, wait a minute here. This guy, I had read articles about him over the years of being one of the filthiest dirtbags in the country. I mean, prostitute parties and he male sex parties with the transvestites. Shot his girlfriend and she won't even let him see his children. The guy is filth on every level, and he. His father is a declared communist, and Alex Jones puts him up as a hero going to expose 9/11's conspiracy, and within a week and a half to 2 weeks after he becomes this big hero, everyone starts finding out about all this other stuff, that he's got a $150,000 a week gambling habit, he's been in rehab 6 times, and still using drugs. So, in other words, what they were doing is they were setting him up as a hero to destroy him later so that everybody would say, see, these are people are all a bunch of nut jobs, these 9/11 people. Look who they picked for their spokesman. Friggin' Charlie Sheen, he sleeps with transvestites. Do you understand? It was made to discredit us, not to help us.
Right.
And Eric and I saw this. I went, wait a minute, Eric, this is crap. And so what? So here it gets really interesting. How does Alex Jones get on mainstream media? Let me tell you something, Giovanni. You don't get on mainstream media if the Zionists don't want your message out. Period. End of story. He was all over Entertainment Tonight. He was on CNN. He was on all this stuff, Alex Jones was. And not to mention, how about this one? He's on this company, Coast to Coast, which is owned by Zionist Lock, Stock, and Barrel. He's on that network all the time. And so wait a minute here. We've got guys like Art Bell, who even denied 9/11 was real. And he's on the same network, and Alex Jones is promoting this nonsensical crud of alien invasion on a Zionist-controlled network. Look... There's so much stuff out there. When you finally look at what Alex Jones is, he's going to go down in history as Benedict Arnold, ladies and gentlemen. Benedict Arnold, in my view. And that's what I've seen from the start with him. Now, does it help to know that I was on the same network with this cretin? I know what he was doing over there. He never, ever... You ever notice... Giovanni, let me ask you this. You ever notice that he calls all these other radio shows?
Mm-hmm.
He's always calling Jack Blood. He always calls John Stapmiller. He always calls Frank Whalen. He calls up all these shows.
Right.
You ever notice? You'll be sitting there listening to John Stapmiller, and it'll be, oh, we have Alex Jones on the line. He'll be, yeah, the New World Order. And he'll be Alex Jones doing his spiel on John Stapmiller's show. You ever notice that?
Right.
He has never, ever, ever spoken to me once. Ever. Ever.
Have you made
never,
any contact?
Never called my show, never called me, never sent me an email, never talked to me, never asked about my research, never discussed anything. And by the way, I've tried to get in touch with him when I didn't know he was a bad guy early on, and tried to promote information through him. And he when I called his radio show and got on the air, I'm on, now bear in mind, I'm on the same network as this guy.
Right.
And I call his radio show, and they put me through, and, they, and he, his response is, oh, it's you. I said, oh, yeah, it's me. Yeah, what do you want? That was the only time that he ever spoke with me once. Fact of the matter. Well, you know, look, we, you know, when something smells bad, something, you know, quacks and walks and looks like a duck, it's a duck, man. I'll tell you that right now. Anyway, well, got another one for us.
What would you say to the argument that people like Alex Jones are the ones awakening most of the Americans to the conspiracies around them, and that eventually, if they're being waken up by Alex Jones, and eventually they'll reach their way to you. So in a certain way, you guys are helping each other.
Well, there's some truth to that, but it's also, there's a one thing you don't realize. There is some truth to that. If by him getting this information out, it will, as you say, wake people up. The problem is, the first person to wake anybody up is going to get a devoted crowd. You can see this not just with people, but products. The very first product on the market of a certain type is going to get the biggest share of the market. And the others that come later, even if they're better, have to battle to get that, to beat that first product, because it gets name recognition. It gets that initial devotion. And people resist changes. So if Alex Jones is their first one, you know, they are going to be devoted to him, and it's going to be difficult to separate them from them.
And
they
found it difficult, Eric.
Yeah.
You know, how many, but I'll tell you something. I'd say 30% of our most recent last 3 months, 4 months, have all been migrators away from him, saying, man, I never looked at it this way until I started listening to you, and I'm sure what you're saying is right.
But it's
and
a resistance.
I get 100 emails a day on busy days. And I would say 20% of them are people who've migrated away from this guy's nonsense.
But there's a resistance. You'll see people resisting it. There, you see, people are devoted to that very first one. And so this is why I think they're trying so hard. They want desperately to be that first person, to be the one that people are devoted to, because it's hard to push them aside. You'll see when we complain about Jones or Rance or someone, there's a lot of resistance, even from the people who eventually decide we're correct. And so that's why I think they're pushing right now really, really hard to get Loose Change out there, to get Webster Tarpley. You know, they're promoting themselves and ignoring the rest of us. And I think they have already realized this. Who's ever first has a very, very big advantage.
Right, right.
So what else, Giovanni, got another one for us?
Okay, well, on one of your interviews with Dr. Lorraine Day, you encourage your followers to spam the internet sites, even the ones that have nothing to do with conspiracies. Do you stand by this still?
Repeat, I ban sites?
Say
that question again, I didn't hear it clearly.
In your interview with Dr. Lorraine Day,
yep,
on March 3rd, you encourage, yep, your followers to spam internet sites.
Spam?
Even ones that have nothing to do with conspiracy sites.
What do you mean, spam?
Spam, as in just go over there and start.
Oh, you mean posting messages?
Yeah.
That's not spamming.
We're trying to recruit people to listen to the Friedman and listen to Myron Fagan and listen to Reed Untermeyer's speech to his criminal troops, and we're trying to look and have them look at Rosenthal and read what Jacob Javits, first assistant, had to say about Zionism, and we're trying to get people to pay attention to these facts. And stop thinking, you know, the whole conspiracy is Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld. And, of course, yes, we tried to get people motivated to go out and spread this information so that more people in the country can be awakened to the real criminals. And whether or not, you know, it was an effective means of getting it out or people felt it was an attack, you know, I don't know, because I haven't listened to that Lorraine Day interview in a while. Actually, I did two with her.
But that's the only way to get information out, is to tell people, email it to your friends, post it on message boards. They're doing it.
Craigslist, Craigslist and Liberty Forum, anywhere. We told them where.
Yeah, I mean, how else
you can go?
How else do we get this information out there to people?
Right. I think it's more directed towards the fact that some of your followers get really into it and start posting and posting and posting and attacking people, and they take it a little too far, and then that kind of makes people attack you and go against what you're doing.
Well, they're doing the same on the opposite side. If you look at message boards, you'll see the same thing all the time. Bush is bad, Bush is bad, Bush is bad, over and over and over and over. I mean, talking about extreme, what we're actually doing is just counteracting it, I would say. I mean, it's true that some people might go a little childish with insults and all, but to just spread information, that is what we have to do, because that is what they do. Look at the television. It's repeating the same things over and over and over.
Right.
And so the only way to counteract this is to tell your friends, look, there's something else out there. Look at this website or this video. And so it's all we can do. We don't want to encourage people to be childish about it, but, you know, we've got to get that information out to people.
And, you know, many of the people that are doing it, they're not savvy media and savvy people. And, I mean, I wasn't either when I started this a couple of years ago. And, in fact, it's been a metamorphosis for me as well. But one of the things that I have told people on my show is, look, you can't browbeat somebody into understanding something. What you can do is lead them Socratically to the truth. In other words, place the facts out in front of them and say, well, take a look at this, and what do you think? And kind of be a leader to the truth, not a pusher. Because if you push it on them, people balk at it. It's a natural response of human beings to balk at being pushed into a certain direction.
Right.
So I've always encouraged people to Socratically draw people in by dropping facts in front of them and saying, take a look at that. What do you think? Now, I'm sorry if they've done it wrong, then they may have done more harm than good in some instances. And I hope that that isn't the case, because maybe we've lost some people forever.
Potential, that's one of the things that drove people away from you, the fact that some people kept pushing your argument over and pushing it. And when we asked for facts, nobody was giving facts. They just kept pushing and pushing without ever answering any questions that we were asking about it. Because people were naturally inquisitive about what you had to say, but they weren't actually giving any facts.
Well, what kind of fact? I mean, you know, all you need to do is read the Rosenthal interview. You ever heard of this guy, Rosenthal?
No.
Obviously, you haven't been to the website, because Rosenthal was. You ever heard of Jacob Javits?
Yes.
Jacob Javits was the senator from the state of New York, and Rosenthal was his first deputy in his office. Read what Mr. Rosenthal says about the Jewish control of the world. This is coming from a very high-leveled man, and guess what happened to Rosenthal after he gave this information to a journalist? He was murdered.
Mm.
So listen to what Rosenthal said. Listen to what Myron Fagan says about what Hollywood's about. Take a listen to Ben. Take a listen to Untermeyer's speech to his own Zionist people. Take a look at the world events. Take a look at Lauder involvement with the World Trade Center financing, or Frank Lowy from Australia, another Zionist. And take a look at Mr. Miller from the Midwest, or... We've got the information on the website. Whether or not people have the savvy wherewithal to maybe take a link and say, read this.
Right.
Read it. I mean, if you read it, you're going to go, holy smokes, we're in a pile of crap. Maybe the people just thought, well, you know, if they start throwing mud, that will get attention. Maybe that was the wrong approach. Maybe they should have just said, here's a link to Rosenthal. Read this. Here's a link to Myron Fagan. Here's a link to Christopher Bolin's article, or what we've done about discovering what criminals are, or Morgan Reynolds saying blue screen technology brought the buildings down.
Right.
I mean, we've got enough information on there, and we cite everything. So if you go to the website, you'll see that it's all cited work.
Okay. So you believe that Zionists are behind every conspiracy out there?
Mostly. Ultimately, yes. They have their henchmen at the mid-level. The Bilderberg meeting that just took place in Canada, there are non-Jews involved in that. But above them, above that group of Bilderbergs, is only Zionist Jewish control. Only. Period. End of story. The Con Loebs, the Schiffs, the Warburgs, the Honig from Austria, the Rothschild fortune. When you take a look at above Bilderberg, it's only Zionist Jews. Only.
So you feel debating everything else is just useless because Zionists are at the core.
At the top. They They're orchestrating everything from the top. Every single solitary thing that goes on this planet is orchestrated through their decision-making process, without a question.
What do you mean debating
anything? That's not even debatable for me.
But what do you mean debating anything else? What else are you talking about?
As in, like, 9/11, bringing out all the other facts, saying that's not even...
But what other facts? I mean, nobody has brought anything out yet. I mean, if you see, this is one of the things about Rance and Jones. What do they bring out? And Mike Rupert and Tarpley, all they say is Bush, Bush, Bush. I mean, when you say we should discuss other things, the only alternative is the Vatican theory. I mean, what else is there to discuss? It's either you either believe Bush is the mastermind to the world's corruption, or the Vatican, or the Zionists. What is there? Is there another alternative theory out there?
Well, I suppose if you watch Loose Change and they offer the other explanation, where it's these powerful elite men doing it to gain money and control. And
what powerful men?
And corporations and people in politics.
But corporations, you have to name them. See, they're like Alex Jones. They don't name them. It doesn't do any good to say the corporations. Like what? Newsweek? The banks? I mean, see, sure, we're not denying there's some corporations involved. Look at the people controlling the media corporations. But when they say, see, they're being vague. It's like this New World Order. What's the New World Order? The people doing this have names. They have addresses. They're living in a house. You know, and who are they? To say corporations doesn't mean anything. There are millions of corporations. Who?
And the people, you believe the people behind these corporations and these people behind the politics are all Zionists?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. And I would stake my life on it. In fact, there is absolutely zero possibility in my mind that it's anybody else. I'm 100% positive of that.
Aaron Russo, in his film American to Freedom to Fascism, what is your problem with him and what he's doing?
Well, first of all, he's a Hollywood Zionist Jew who's pushing information away from the top bankers being in control of things. And again, he's bringing out Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld as the principals. And he does make vague references to other power brokers, but he never nails the truth about Zionism and about this battle of this war in Iraq being for Israel, and that you know, Dov Zolkheim's control and Apex control and the ADL and the B'nai B'rith and the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all of these Zionist arms of control, he doesn't talk about any of them. And in fact, it's the same thing with this guy named Ralph Schoenman, says he's anti-Zionist, but he says that the ADL has no power in America. He says his girlfriend, Maya Schoen, this is Schoenman's girlfriend, Maya Schoen, another Zionist who's a liar, says that the APEC has... what are you talking about, APEC is control of our government? I said, well, excuse me, haven't you taken a look at Mr. Abramoff and his relationship to the control? He was a super lobbyist for the Jewish American Congress, I think it is. Jewish American Congress, I think that's right. But the fact is that these people are not there to uncover truth. They're there to control you away from who's doing it, including Aaron Russo, who is a Jewish Zionist.
Well, I think Russo's doing what they're doing with the 9/11 movement. See, Russo's new movie is trying to expose the Federal Reserve and the income tax as a fraud. I think what's happening is they're worrying now. People are realizing this whole income tax thing as it's done in the Federal Reserve is a scam. And so now they want to be in control, just like they're trying to do with 9/11. You know, they're pushing Loose Change and their particular people to expose 9/11, and now they're pushing their people to expose the Federal Reserve and the income tax. And look at who Russo is bringing forward. People like Mike Rupert as an expert on income tax, and Catherine Austin Fitz. These were the same people who were right there in the very beginning of 9/11 to tell us what didn't or did happen. And they're liars. They were lying about 9/11. They lie about other things, and now they're in Aaron Russo's movie. What does that tell you? I mean, we've got known, proven liars in Aaron Russo's movie as experts on the Federal Reserve and the income tax. This should tell you right there This is part of the same group. They're trying to get control. They want it. It's like I said, who's ever first to expose the Federal Reserve is going to get a lot of devoted followers. And now Aaron Russo, Mike Rupert, Catherine Austin Fitz, and the others are going to be heroes to everybody who watches this movie. They are going to be devoted to them. And then that puts them in control, and they'll decide what to do.
So you don't recommend people go watch this film?
They can watch it, but they have to realize they are watching the criminal network trying to spin it their way. That's what, it's okay to watch it. You just have to keep in mind who you're watching. I mean, look at Mike Rupert. 2 days after 9/11, he came out and said there were no explosives in those towers. How does he know this after 2 days?
Right.
I mean, the guy is a proven liar. It is definite. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. He is a liar. And now Aaron Russo is holding him up as an expert in the Federal Reserve and the income tax. What does he know about that? How can you trust him after he's lied routinely on 9/11?
But and see, you know, you brought up several times loose change, loose change. Take a look at who financed loose change and who is financing its movement into the next level. It's a woman named Deborah Simon. Deborah Simon is from the billionaire Jewish family in the Midwest who has ties to the Zionist network across the country, the Simon family, and they have access to the multi-billions of dollars of this family. They're related to the people that call the Miller family. If you take a look behind the scenes here, you start finding out that loose change, by the way, the people that produce loose change are Jewish. Now, does this mean all Jews are involved in this conspiracy? Absolutely not, Giovanni. There are a lot of Jews out there who are sitting there at their homes saying, I'm not part of this. Why am I getting slimed by this? Well, that's right. A lot of the Jews are not involved in this, but a lot of them are. And if you take a look at most of the researchers, from Alex Jones, from the loose change people, who's financing it, who's putting it forward, they happen to be Jewish. Now, Jews are 2% of the nation's population, but they're 65 to 70% of the people doing the 9/11 research. Are they the only people in this country that want the truth? No. It's nothing to do with truth. They're out there trying to obfuscate. And that's very clear to me, because every time anybody goes toward the truth, they've got these people there spinning you away from the truth or trying to take control of the investigation. And that's been over and over. We've seen this repeatedly. Now, we have to be careful on the French Connection to let everybody know, and you, we're not anti-Jewish, we're anti-Zionist. I'm anti-criminal. These people are committing crimes. They're murdering. They're destroying the beauty of our country. And if it was Chinese doing it, or if it was Slavic Russians doing it, it would be the same thing for me. Doesn't matter. If you're a criminal trying to destroy the world, I'm going to come out against you. Well, it happens to be Zionist Jews doing it. And that's why I've come out against them, not because they're Jewish, but because they're criminals.
Right. Who originally came up with this concept of the Zionist Jews between you two?
We didn't. They came up with the idea of Zionism under Theodor Herzl.
Which one of you two got started in finding this out and bringing it out to the public?
I've been in it longer than him, but I don't know how you can put it.
we started working together last year in June, or by around this time last year. It's been about a year, Eric.
Yeah, but I don't know how you put dates on things like, or who did what first, and you know.
I mean, I always knew that they controlled our media. I always knew that the Federal Reserve was in their hands. I always knew that they had a disproportionate amount of control of our universities and our school systems, and I also knew that they were communist orientated. However, I didn't know how deep it all went. Okay, I didn't know quite how profound the truth was, and I had never heard Ben Friedman a year ago. I think the first time I heard him was in August, and that's when you noticed my programs at Genesis started shifting. I started doing more interviews about that, and I started discussing it more. And I remember telling Eric, we've got to tread lightly on this, because, of course, they're going to try to slime me with anti-Semite,
right.
Which I'm not an anti-Semite. And if you know anything about Ashkenazis, they're not even Semitic. They happen to be a group of people from the Russian steppes. They're not even Semites. In fact, Palestinians are Semites, but the Ashkenazis are not.
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we started about the same time working together, but the real facts started pouring out around September, Eric. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to put dates, and I don't know what it even matters really anyway. But, I mean, from the point of view of the people listening, I don't know what difference does it make. Who does what first? At what point anything happens?
Well, some of the things you pointed out to me, and some of it I got from reading Bolin, and some of it I got from reading, I read different files about this stuff from a lot of places. I mean, it was all kind of a learning curve.
Well, I know.
I'm hoping the people that listen to this broadcast from your group do the same thing. They start this process of learning. You just don't sit on a message board and call people doo-doo heads. Go and read the stuff, man. Go read Rosenthal's declarations about his control through Javits and the rest. Go listen to Myron Fagan. Listen to all of it, and take a look rationally at who's doing this stuff. Everybody has their due diligence requirement. Everyone, you know. You said something earlier, my approach and the approach of my listeners. Giovanni, I'm not the nicest guy in the world. I my neighbors will attest to that. My wife will attest to it. I'm just some guy, man. I'm just some guy who found out the facts and who's willing to stick his neck above the above the firing line to say we've got a crap storm on the horizon, and if we don't wake up, we're all in big trouble. That's all I am. And if you don't think that that's true, take a look at who links to us. Almost nobody. Go to Alex Jones' site and see about 400 links to him. We've got three. Three. You think that's a coincidence that we only have three people linking to us and we still get 10,000 people a day? These people hate this stuff, man. We're kicking their fanny and they hate it. And because it's really happening from the grassroots, they can't stand it. They're flipping out. I love it. Anyway, what else you got for us?
This is for Eric. What does he have to say about the people who claim that his attacks on Dylan Avery and Loose Change is just jealousy because of the success they have over Painful Deceptions, I guess?
Well, I again would say I'm not attacking them. What I'm doing is pointing out a very interesting, if you want to call it a coincidence, call it a coincidence. They are getting unbelievable promotion around the whole world. And if you look at an ordinary, what you'd call a normal person, when they discover 9/11, some of them will put up links like, oh, check out Painful Deceptions, or here's Loose Change, and here's In Plain Sight. They'll tell people, oh, check them all out. That's not what you're seeing out there. You're not seeing that at all. You're seeing an extremely one-sided view where they're promoting that only. And the other people they will promote are, again, people who will deny any possibility of Israeli involvement. And so what I'm pointing out to people is, take a look at this. This is a sign that the people behind the crime have decided to promote that particular video because it's what they want to promote. It's their side of it, that it's all Bush, that it's all Cheney.
But you're forgetting about the Deborah Simon connection, too.
Well, then, yeah, see, then if you look even farther, see, but first I'm pointing out to people, look at who's promoting it and how it's getting extremely one-sided. It's extremely one-sided, and it's not normal. A normal person promotes everything.
Right.
And so this is the one side. Then look at the strange connections here. Who are they, these people? Then you'll find the connections to Deborah Simon, the Simon family, Carl Schwartz, Phil Jahan, Tom Flacco. There's something wrong here. If you put all these names down that's involved in 9/11, put them on a chart and look at who promotes who, you're going to see they all promote one another, and we're off to the side completely isolated. And this then starts making sense. They are trying to take control. They want everybody to go to them. They are trying to be the heroes to expose 9/11. They're pushing everybody out that doesn't follow, their particular pattern. And I'm not attacking them. I'm not even criticizing their film.
I'm attacking them, Eric. They're a bunch of shitheels. Excuse me.
Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not really, it's not like we're calling the names. It's not like I'm...
I just did.
Well, I'm not... See, what I'm saying, and I'm pointing out to people, look at the information, and you can see there's something suspicious here.
Of course, and look at Deborah Simon, first of all. Look who this woman is and what family connection she has. And then look at the people who made that. They're all Jewish.
And if your car...
But Giovanni, let me ask you a question. Why is it only Jewish people are exposing 9/11?
Well, they don't even expose it. What they're doing is exposing only loose change. They're only bringing certain people forward.
Right.
Webster Tarpley, loose change. And if your car had been stolen and you found this strange connection of how there's this one group of albino midgets and they're constantly telling you, oh, look over here, this guy over here, George Bush, he stole your car. I mean, after a while, you might think, you know, wait a minute, why is it every one of these albino midgets is sending me over to George Bush? And then here's this other guy over here saying, yeah, the car's right across the street. Your best friend's got it. I mean, don't you think after a while you think, why are they constantly doing this? Why is this one group always promoting this one theory? And that's what's happening. It's this one group of people, the Zionist deniers, the Holocaust promoters, constantly promoting the same group of people, the same loose chain.
Webster Tarpley made a conspiracy made in America.
Yeah, and what this is a sign is they are trying to cover up their crime. They're trying to put their people in, just like Ford did when Nixon was pushed out. He brought in Ford. What does that do? Well, then Ford, he can tell Ford, here, look, I'll put you as president in return. Just don't let anything happen to me.
Right.
And so that's what they're doing. They're saying, look, it's getting exposed. We can't stop it. We're in trouble. We're in serious trouble. Help us. And so we'll put our friends in. They'll expose it, and then we'll be in control.
Right.
When you take a look at this and just sit down and be quiet for a moment, go to the site. What you might want to do is take a couple of these people we've mentioned today, such as Rosenthal. We didn't interview Rosenthal. That information has been around for a long time. It's been vetted. It's been proven to be accurate that this guy actually said this stuff. Myron Fagan's work speaks for itself. Take a look at what Deborah Simon's doing and put this stuff on your opposing digits and say, read this and take a look at it. And you decide. Find out why the three people making loose change happen to be Jewish. Why the person doing the interviews is not Dylan Avery, but this other kid. What's his name?
Burmese, Jason Burmese.
Burmese. Another Jewish kid who's almost virulent about the way he protects Israel, not being part of it. Take a look at these radio shows, such as Genesis, promoting Webster Tarpley, conspiracy made in America. On the same network, they've got Aaron Russo, fascism and American fascism. He doesn't talk about the Israelis. He doesn't talk about the bankers that he's fighting against being entirely controlled by Jewish money. When you start looking at this stuff, you say, wait a minute, is RBN really trying to tell me the truth, or are they a bunch of liars? Well, they do have peppered in there a couple of truth tellers, like I think Karen Katowski is, and I know her. But Karen, Karen doesn't investigate the Zionist angle. She stays with military subjects mostly, but then again, they've got a truth teller in their midst. If you take a listen to what Michael Collins Piper says, he's giving them black eyes. And interestingly enough, when Bolin did the sit-in for Michael Collins Piper, Eric was interviewed. It's the only day out of that week that they did not give a description of the interview. They put up all of the, he interviews so-and-so, Bolin interviews this one, but then when it comes, Eric did a whole show with them, and they would not put Eric Hufschmidt interviewed. They don't want to promote
it. Well, that's just one of the, you add all these little things together, it's like the scholars for 9/11 truth. They asked me in the very beginning when they first got formed if I would do their website for them. So here I am working for free, making their website for them, and they wouldn't let me put my own list. I couldn't even list my own website or my book on their site. I mean, I'm doing their work for free, But they won't let me because why? Why won't they? You think about this for a minute. I mean, how obvious does this have to get? They are trying to suppress this information. And I can understand people having differences of opinions. I can understand it. Some people don't like me or they don't like my book. But it's not just one or two people scattered around. It's universal. It's all of these people are trying to suppress it. That becomes a conspiracy when it becomes this big. It's not just a few people's personal opinions, you see?
Right.
I mean, how obvious does it have to get when, like, the scholars for truth, they're saying, oh, we want to expose 9/11, but don't go over here. Don't even look at it. Don't even put Huffman's site on it. Don't even put his book up there. I mean, come on. Think about it. The book has already affected a lot of people, and they're not even going to let it be mentioned. I mean, what does that tell you about scholars for truth? Anybody who thinks they're being honest is a fool. They're being taken advantage of. There is something seriously wrong with those people. And it's, again, damage control. Look at what they will promote. The blue screen theory.
And all the blue screen theory is, Giovanni?
I've never even heard of it.
Well, Morgan Reynolds is being this idiot. Is from the Labor Department, an economist, is saying that everybody on 9/11 was deceived. There was no planes that hit those buildings. That, in fact, the news companies superimposed a fake plane into their videos that hit the buildings. This is what they promoted.
And Jimmy Walter is now promoting it. And see, what you have to do, all you have to do is look at all the sites. I mean, it doesn't take much intelligence to figure this out. This is damage control. And at the same time, they can make the 9/11 theories look stupid by promoting this nonsense.
Right. That is pretty shocking stuff.
Well, it makes me sick. Of course, I get tired like everybody. I mean, come on. Eric and I, we're not immune to all of this nonsense. We're just regular guys, and... You know, I spend my money on this stuff. Eric spends his own money on it. We're marginally able to do this. And, you know, we're not doing it to be famous. I don't want to be famous. I would rather go back into my my little world. But you know what? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody has to. If we don't do it, who the hell's going to do it? I mean, if we leave this thing, it's going to be just the liars out there. We're going to be screwed then, boy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, in your website, I think you claim that everyone is guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that lead to a lot of innocent people being?
Well, that's a wrong interpretation. What we need to do is investigate people. I mean, this 9/11 movement, the people who are coming forward to expose the truth. Everybody who does this. These people, it's like, you know, if somebody went into the pilot's seat of the airplane you're in, don't you think you'd like to know, can this guy fly the plane? I mean, he's not a passenger. Once you get up out of that passenger seat and try to tell the pilot how to fly the plane, we have a right to say, well, do you even know how to fly? And the same is true with 9/11. Once somebody gets up there in front of the world and says what did or did not happen on 9/11, we have a right, we have a responsibility to say, who is this guy? What is he telling us about 9/11 for? How do we know we can trust him? We have a responsibility to ask, who are these people trying to influence our world and our lives? And this is not an attack, and it's nothing wrong with it, or nothing to be ashamed of. We should be doing it with everybody. Who are these people trying to control us, trying to influence us?
Basically what I'm saying is to question everything. Don't just accept answers.
Well, yes, the people who are trying to control and influence our lives, we should be asking, who are they? Where did they get their information? What are their motives?
Well, why is a guy like Alex Jones and a guy like Jeff Rentz promoting the Vatican assassins nonsense? I mean, absolute crap. Do you see any Jesuits in the Bush administration? There are 65% Jews in that administration, and they all are Zionists. 65% of his leadership, but not a single Jesuit.
Mm-hmm.
How about the people in charge of the Federal Reserve? Any Jesuits over there? No. Any Jesuits in charge of our media? No. How How about the university structure?
And see, you've got people promoting a theory that has zero supporting evidence. This alone, this should be considered. Why are they doing this? I mean, think about the. Imagine the when someone comes to the police with evidence, so-called evidence of a crime, and it turns out the evidence is false. The police will arrest them. I mean, you can't give false evidence to the police. Why are these people giving false evidence about 9/11? This is a sign that they are criminals. They are committing a crime. They are lying and deceiving us. And we should not be tolerating this. If they don't have supporting evidence for their Vatican theory, they should be arrested for giving false evidence, as far as I'm concerned.
I do, too. I think the same.
I mean, if someone stole your car and the police said, oh, imagine someone like Alex Jones saying, oh, well, it's the New World Order. They stole it. And the Vatican did it. I mean, the police might look into it a little and say, okay, you're under arrest, buddy. That's enough. We've had enough of your lies. What are we doing this? We're allowing this with 9/11. Where is the evidence? Who is this New World Order? Who are they? Name the people. Tell them. Name those people. I mean, this is nonsense. And the same with the Vatican people, Eric John Phelps. Tell them, where's the evidence? If you don't have it, you're under arrest. That's what we should be doing. We should be stop fooling around with this stuff.
Well, I mean, you know. What else you got? What else you got? You got something else?
Well, Miss, I think that's all we need to know. I would like to know, what is your theory on what we can do from now on where to stop all this bickering and fighting just to move on, and what is the solution, you think?
Start taking some of the evidence we got. Don't leave me out of this, okay? Look, the evidence we put up there is not my opinion. We put up evidence. Don't bring my opinion on your website. Stick with what we found, and that'll make it easier, because it speaks for itself. Myron Fagan speaks for himself. The Christopher Bolian's research speaks for itself. Benjamin Friedman speaks for himself. So does Rosenthal. So does the information we found out about Scott Ritter being a pedophile, and the fact that he says that 19 Arabs crashed into the World Trade Center. Look at. Bring the evidence to your forum, not my opinion. I'm just the messenger. Don't kill me.
And besides, I don't think we're really fighting. I think that's what they're trying to create. They're trying to create the impression that we're fighting, that we're attacking them. I don't think that's what's happening at all. I think what it is we're exposing them, and they're panicking. We're not fighting with anybody. We're saying, look at these people. Look at their crazy theories. Look at how they're lying. Look at how they're working together to suppress information. And so I would say, we're not the one fighting. They are.
Right.
What we're doing is exposing them. We're catching them. And they're upset about it. That's what's bothering them. And so they have nothing to do but call us names and say, oh, you're dividing the movement. Stop fighting with us. Well, we're not fighting with you. We're exposing you. That's what I would say to them.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Giovanni?
I think it's very interesting information, and I personally follow up the work. My own personal belief was I didn't understand why you called everyone basically a Zionist. I wasn't following up on, you know, how useful this was to just name. And I was involved in Conspiracy Central from the beginning, and I never saw anything remotely close to Zionist control there. Like,
what explains the fact that they allowed this cretin Eric Stonek there to bully them into lying and bully them away from facts and bully them away from the truth? What explains it? I don't get any other. And then calling me a pedophile in France. I mean, and then leaving that on their websites and saying I'm F this and F that. And I mean, it was astonishing, the attack. And the only thing that I could come up with is that, first of all, the motivation was by Jewish interests. And secondly, it was all a bunch of nonsense. And they attacked me as a father and a husband and made lies about me on a forum that's supposed to be discussing truth. What kind of conclusion would you come up with?
I just see this personally, that it's a mixture of different people there who have different opinions. Some people aren't interested in the truth. They just want to spread lies, and this information and spread their own version of truth.
Well, that's part of the job of the moderator, to not let people put up that Daryl Bradford Smith's a pedophile living in France. Because, first of all, they can be sued for it, and second of all, it's ridiculous to put that kind of crap up on a website. And if that's the kind of moderators that are working at that place, they've got some serious, serious problems. Mm-hmm. Serious. You know, I didn't call up and say this guy Mike's a pedophile. What if I saw Mike's a pedophile and Cypher's a pedophile and you're all pedophile? That's insane. Or if I let Eric write that stuff on my website that you're calling you a pedophile, that's absolute foolishness. Or the fact that, you know, that I watched a Zionist control the outcome of your decision making. What does that mean when I see a guy named Stanovic able to bully you guys into lies and putting up there that I've right protected my information and that it's copyrighted and it's all lies? And the moderator of that Conspiracy Central is the one who told the lies. He knew that there was no copyright. He's a liar.
Right.
He knew it was a lie. I'm calling him a liar. Now, why would someone who's in charge of a forum that's supposed to be exposing truth be a liar? You do the math.
What he basically said was he has no disagreements with what you're saying. It was just, first of all, the deliverance of it, and then the whole thing with the audios being banned and everything like that. I mean, I don't know what the truth is about it, but...
So why would he start saying that I have copyright protection when he knew that was a bold-faced lie? I mean, come on. And then the next thing was that they're all going to be arrested by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That's a lie. Come on, man.
And the FBI.
They're all coming up to get them. And you better come and give me some money so that I can support my legal battle against the FBI coming to get me. Come on, man. How far do you want to go with this crap? This guy, Mike, is a liar. Now, do you want to leave a liar in charge of a truth forum? I don't know. It's pretty screwed up if you ask me. And you know what? No wonder you had to separate yourself from these people. My goodness. It's astonishing that kind of stuff could be actually put on a site that says they're looking for facts and truth. And nobody discusses Rosenthal. And nobody discusses Entermeyer. And nobody discusses... But they want to call me a pedophile in France. Or slander my wife.
I mean, I can't say I'm completely convinced that it has anything to do with Zionism there. But I do disagree with the way things are mostly done and discussed, which is why I separated myself from it. But I can't say I'm completely convinced that it has to do with Zionism myself.
Well, what do you think it has to do with?
I mean, I know I've spoken with the owner of History Central. He's one that's known for his temper and for losing it. And, you know, every once in a while he'll just go off a tantrum and then come back and say he's sorry. And it's just, that's the way he is. Personally, that's just his personality, I would say.
Well, it's possible you're correct that it's a personality thing, but...
Because he, even before, he has sat there and written articles about the Holocaust being a hoax and about Zionists himself. He's done that. So, you know, I don't see anything where there's anything about Zionism there. I don't know about the email you got or who's responsible if... The owner of the site is even...
Well, the Zionists sometimes are behind the scene. They may be sending him email, for example. Because some people have already gotten angry emails, like to stay away from the Daryl Smith show. And, you know, it's possible that they are working behind the scenes to make him mad at Daryl, for all we know.
Right.
Because, I mean, that happens. I can see, you look at Morgan Reynolds and Jimmy Walter. Somebody is obviously influencing these guys. And it's not necessarily coming from them, and you don't see who's behind the scenes. It's like Deborah Simon's behind the scenes, and who's behind her? Because it's not her making the money that she's giving away. Where's the money coming from? And so it may be that there's quite a few layers of people behind Conspiracy Central that you don't even see. You only see the guy losing his temper. You don't know, well, why is he losing his temper? Who's contacting him? Who's trying to maybe bribe him? Right. You know what I mean? Look at it, because look at Morgan Reynolds. What's the deal going on with that guy and the blue screen theory? Because it's not his theory. If you look at where the theory came from, it's the same people that were promoting holograms before that. That Web Fairy and the Gerard Holmgren. And then they switched when no one bought the hologram. Now they're doing blue screen. So it's behind the scenes. It's not Morgan Reynolds. Morgan Reynolds is their little patsy who's standing up there promoting it. But behind the scenes are these other people.
Right.
It's the same thing with Loose Change. Dylan Avery and this guy Bremis and the rest of them, they're being supported by Deborah Simon, who's the same guy that's supporting Carl Schwartz. Surprise!
And then Carl Schwartz, what's he doing with his money? He may be giving it to...
He's supporting RBN.
You see, what's hard to figure out is these people aren't... The people behind 9/11 are not out there in the public. They have layers of people that they work from. You know, somebody will give money to one of them. Another one, he'll pass it on to someone else. Who knows, by the time it gets to the final person, it may have gone through 5 people or 10 people.
Right.
And to make it difficult to identify them. That's the whole point of what they're doing. They don't want to be identified. They're using patsies. They're using mostly people with problems. You look at Carl Schwartz and the others. I mean, these people have problems. They're expendable. They're like Lee Harvey Oswald and Tim McVeigh. They're not the brightest, and they've got problems. They're easily abandoned if it turns out that they're of no value anymore.
Right.
And if they have to go to jail, fine. What do they care? I mean, they're expendable. And so when you got to look behind them.
That's why the Bilderberg is a front for this world Zionist conspiracy. When you look above them, it's only Zionist Jews involved. Period. End of story. And
the farther
we get into this, the more evidence we find. You know, the website IamTheWitness.com, Giovanni, is so loaded with facts that you could spend weeks there reading the information. And we've got our work cited. It's not opinion. We give you a link to everything we found. Well, all I can ask your opposing digits people, if you don't trust what we did, look at the places we got the information and what they're saying. If you don't like the way I deliver something, look, I'm not Mr. Sweets over here. That's not who I am. You know, I'm the guy that yells you out of bed at 11 o'clock in the morning there, Giovanni. That's who I am. I'm not some sweetheart guy that's over here trying to blow smoke up your skirt. It's not who I am. And if you thought I was going to sugarcoat this truth, then you're wrong. That's not who I am. I'm just going to deliver it to you rough. It's just the way it goes. And, I mean, if people don't like it, I'm the guy at the checkout counter that yells at you for taking your time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that was my friend Giovanni over here from Opposing Digits. We don't have a long history together. I've only spoken to him a couple of times. This is an interview we did for him to clear up a couple of questions that his people at his forum had for us. And I appreciate you coming on, Giovanni, and I thank you, Eric, for spending this time with us here on this interview. It's going to get disseminated far and wide, and I appreciate it very much, both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Eric, thanks again for your time, and we'll be back tomorrow with an interview with Tex Mars, ladies and gentlemen, talking about these criminals and what else they've got planned for us. So until tomorrow, this is Darryl Bradford Smith saying be well. Bye-bye now.